We're good.
And go.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Friday, May 5th, 9 a.m. Human Resources Committee meeting. In attendance, we have our city manager, Steve Franks. We've got our finance director and guru, Michelle. We've got Mayor Nelson, Councilmember Vince Rossini, and as a member of the public, we have Robbie Pitts. You good with that? Yeah. I didn't mean to shortchange on a title there, but no, as you're a member of the public. If you wouldn't mind, Steve, I don't know if it's a matter of us to take roll. We've already announced who's here.
We're good. Okay. I think that suffices.
I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. It is now 9:04 and change. And roll call, we've more or less completed. Wanted to see if there's any public comment to go with anything before this committee. Hearing none, seeing none, there is none. Moving forward to discussion items. 4A, salary and benefits resolution. May we please have a staff report? And if we could highlight anything that I requested the last salary resolution for comparison and contrast. But if you wouldn't mind, sure. Not only going over what the current one is, but kind of going over some comparisons with prior ones or previous ones.
Okay, one of the things that Michelle, I'll let her kind of walk through it, but she and I talked, and what we wanted to do is in the Budget and Finance Committee meeting, the discussion of salaries came up, and we wanted to sort of walk you through that first, because in the resolution, it references all the salaries and the proposed in the budget. So in order to sort of put this in context, we wanted to walk you through the budget first, the salaries, and then think. You'll remember, Mayor, that you raised the question, how were we at, where were we at the budget number for, so what we wanted to do is walk you where we are, where the numbers are, what was being recommended or proposed, and then we could then address that into the resolution, how it's reflected in the resolution. So, Michelle, you want to?
Sure. You guys have the handout. The first page is, we talk about the adopted budget from 16-17. So that's what you'll see in the budget. So we started out with, is it $655,000? And we're just going to break down what occurred throughout the year. So we had a staff member on maternity leave, and that time wasn't working. So therefore, you know, their position's held, but they're not getting paid. So there's a savings. The net savings between, while she was gone, a intern was hired to fill her spot for a limited amount of hours, which is 1,000 hours. And
cap of $12,000, correct?
Paid, yes. Yes. I mean, they have, you know, in taxes, but
right.
Yes.
Right.
Salary,
okay.
Yes. So the net savings technically on that is $1,400. You see that there. Next, with the city manager leaving, the resignation of Jared Heldenbrand, once his contract was ended, he had 6 months of savings. So that's, you have the savings of $84,000. Then you have
yeah savings. This is a cost, isn't it? $4,000.
Let
me walk it through.
Okay.
So $8,000, you have savings of Jared not paying Jared. Okay. Then we had an interim city manager, which was it's not a salary, it's a independent contractor. So his cost is $31,000. Then we hired a new city manager, and his cost for roughly 4 months is $57,000. So the net increase is $4,000.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
So I asked her to group the resignation.
We're just trying to show you kind of like...
It makes sense.
No, I got you now.
So the city manager issue is lumped together, so you see the net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the interim city manager was here, there was a staff salary adjustment for both myself and for the administrative analyst, and that was as we fell into FEMA, into the major disaster, and the job that we were doing, the interim city manager's made it clear, my job is to find a city manager. That is my major role. I'm going to need help with the office stuff. So both Kim and I have taken on quite a bit of additional responsibilities. And at that point, there was an increase in both of our responsibilities and our salaries, which is a net of roughly $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
The next is staffing adjustments. When we had our office assistant, again, resigned at the very beginning of January, and not paying her through the end of the year was $14,000 of savings. And then we hired an interim, an intern, again, max of 1,000 hours to fill that position until we hired. The goal was when the interim city manager was here, he was, should we hire somebody? And my recommendation was, why don't you wait till the new city manager gets in and they can do what, where they see fit. Let them get their feet and let's, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and figure out what's the best, what the new city manager would prefer to do.
So one of the things that's important too is that if you look at the hiring a part-time intern 1,000 hours above, it's 13,400 versus 1,000 hours down here, 16,700. It's because we're not paying at the same rate. One is a college graduate, one is not. Yeah. So we're paying one intern higher than we're paying the other one based on experience and education. So just so you know, it's not apples to apples completely.
Nor should it be with different levels of education or experience depending on the situation.
So the net of those two is 1,800. And then just recently, based on, you know, council direction of pursuing code enforcement, additional 8 hours a week. So that brings us to the new revised, as of today's date, the salaries are 678, the salary package, salaries and benefits. So that's our starting point from when we talk about the budget next week. You'll see that we do zero-based budgeting, right? So we start at, this is what it is today. Where are we going to go? So if you turn to the next page.
Wait, before we leave this.
Sure.
The salary increase adjustments, how does the interim city manager do that?
It's within the salary range of the incumbents were lower rate than the actual salary resolution allowed them to be. So within the range of the position, he moved them up within the range. So that's what he had done.
Oh, I thought the salary resolution was what it was. And, you know, you get a merit increase, but I didn't know he had the authority to move people up within the range.
Well, according to... that was part of the discussion, and I think that's why it was brought up, was to give the city manager, does the city manager have the authority to move a budget into salary resolution underneath their signing authority? And at the council meeting, it was approved, and based on that, the city manager made those recommendations.
Okay, I still don't understand, but go on. I just didn't understand how the city manager, the interim city manager, could increase salaries without coming to the council, particularly if it was something like a merit increase, if you give them authority to do that, you could do it. But to just change somebody's salary, I didn't know they could do that.
Is there provisions within the code for the interim city manager to, in effect, give raises without the approval of council? I know there are certain discretion that the both city manager as well as the interim city manager is afforded.
Well, I think what happens is the range is the salary. This is my interpretation, again, not being here.
Okay.
The range is what's approved by the council. The decision about where to place them in the range would be the decision of the city manager.
Okay.
So the city manager used his discretion to move them within the range because neither were at the top of their range.
Okay.
So he did not supersede any authority of at the council to move over their range.
Okay.
He just made the decision to say, look, I'm giving them additional duties. The range that's approved by the council, it says this. I'm moving them based on additional responsibilities.
Okay.
Now, that's sort of what the practice, and that's very common practice throughout. I mean, I know very candidly, the county, in my experience for 34 years, if there's any change in duties, it's an automatic 5.5%. No questions asked. You have a the department head can go up to 9% based on, without any approval or anything, just because you've changed duties and somebody has additional responsibilities. Otherwise, you've disincentivized anybody saying, well, I'm not doing anymore. Why do more?
Right.
And, you know, well, you know, and you, that's sort of the logic is to provide people sort of compensation to recognize the additional work. So that's the same concept, and that's what I believe is being done here. So it's within the salary range approved by the council.
Sure.
He used money that was available within the budget and allocated for that purpose based on his assessment of workload responsibilities.
Now, point of clarification, Mayor Nelson, were you concerned about the intern salaries being raised or our
No, I was asking a question about the finance director and the administrative analyst.
Okay.
My impression of it now, maybe I'm wrong, but my impression of it, we did a salary resolution and said these are the salaries for these people this year. Mm-hmm. Here's a range, but here's their salaries for this year. And I thought that was in stone unless the council came back and changed it.
I must not hear it. What is it? My if that would be the case, then we shouldn't be adopting a range. We should be adopting a fixed dollar amount and say that's it.
Okay.
But that's not what we're doing. What's adopting is a range, and you're allowing, because we just said, depending on education, responsibilities, workload, or whatever, mm-hmm. we'd be changing it. So I would, it's very consistent with practices, okay, what I've ever seen. So mm-hmm. I'm not, and I think, you see that kind of thing. So I'm not here to say what was approved. All I just know is there was a range adopted. If you want to say we don't want a range, then you're moving back to what you said. Mm-hmm. But with range would almost imply, okay, a range means you can have flexibility in a range. That's what it is.
But it just gets back to my point, though, Steve. We should have more policy procedures that outline these kind of things. So I would know. I'd be able to go and say,
I agree.
Here's the way it works, because otherwise I don't know the way it works.
Well, I agree with you. I'm 100% with you. Okay. One of the things that I'm, I come from a procedure manual that you can't carry around because it's so heavy, and we will be creating a much more vibrant thing. The other thing we're going to be doing is creating performance evaluations and things like that haven't been done.
Yeah.
So we'll be creating a whole structure of that, and regimented and documented and et cetera, workload. Here's what your workload increases and those kinds of things. So that's what the school I come from, and that's what we'll be going toward. But what the practice is, I don't disagree with what practice happened here. I'm just saying what my interpretation would be.
Okay.
And to clarify prior statements, I don't have a problem hiring folks and paying them more if they have more experience and or education, quantifiable experience, because anybody can pass time in a position, but significant experience in a particular field or paying them more than, say, somebody with a similar titled position and certainly with more education. But I do share Mayor Nelson's concerns that we're in a dynamic situation. I think every city is. I think every municipality, I think every level of government, there are going to be highs and lows. There's going to be times when we're busy and when we're not. And just because we added some additional duties, I want to be very careful that we don't go too far out of bounds and start just paying folks for extra duties as assigned, because having worked in both public and private sector, both from a political perspective as well as a law enforcement perspective as well as a finance perspective, that can be a slippery slope. So I do agree wholeheartedly with our mayor that we really need to adopt some policies and procedures that regulate this so that we're all on the same page and everything's in black and white, that there's less latitude when it comes down to that.
100% with you, 100% with you. The other thing I would keep in mind, and this is something that I'm acutely familiar with having to, if somebody were to vacate a position and you go out to recruit, what you're going to get mm-hmm. is always sort of like, what are we paying and what are we going to get? And that market drives a lot of what we're doing. So mm-hmm. if people aren't, it's almost, I don't want Michelle to, but her experience and her education knowledge of what she's doing here, mm-hmm. you're not going to get that typically mm-hmm. for a lower, so mm-hmm. while we can be, we have to document, I agree with you, let's record, let's have all policies, et cetera. I'm 100% behind that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not opposed to, because I would say the staff here in the city are not overpaid mm-hmm. by any sense of the stretch of mm-hmm. imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, okay.
That's, right.
I'm sort of like, if I were to recruit, I would be pulling somebody from my experience with lesser abilities that mm-hmm. would fit into that, say, salary-wise, just as a comparable level.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's not even close to what the incumbent can do here.
So
that's what I just want to be cautious. So I think a range is important, mm-hmm. and I agree with you, say how we move, there should mm-hmm. be policies with how you move and how we adjust, and mm-hmm. we don't just automatically give somebody like, okay, you know, because you have to open the door in the morning and you didn't have to do it before, you're getting paid more.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that either. But if it's significant, substantive, and we can document responsibilities, there's a process.
And for a lengthy period of time. Right. And something right. that, you know, something isn't just we had an issue for a month or a few weeks, or if something that on a long-term projected basis, this is something new that they're going to have to take over and be responsible and accountable for, then I can understand paying them accordingly. And though I do appreciate your, number one, experience and your point of view, and that our folks may not be overpaid, as I'm sure you're aware, as Michelle's aware, as members of the public are aware, as well as the mayor is aware, in this city, we've got to pinch pennies big time for us, because we've got some long-term deferred infrastructure needs that are getting more expensive by the day, And if we don't take care of those, we're going to wind up paying an exponential amount more in the future, let alone just trying to beautify the city and keep our property values up and pay our staff what they do deserve. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think you're right on, and I 100% agree.
Okay.
Let me say, I wasn't questioning the value of Michelle, because I know what a value is.
For the record.
I was just questioning the process. That's all.
No, I agree with you, and we will have processes, and, you know, and it's not just this. I mean, and I don't want to pick on human resources, but the size of the city and the practices, I mean, we need to do on contracting. You and I have talked about reviewing our contracts and not have Evergreen. Evergreen have been sort of in the past, just because
it's easier to deal with it.
So every 4 years, we need to be making business decisions and, you know, reevaluating. All that stuff needs to be sort of documented. We need to do that stuff. And I've talked to Michelle. I've talked to Kim. We're creating that database and working from it. We need to be much more transparent, like you say, Mayor, about how we do things and proceduralize that. So that's on my to-do list. And I agree with you 100%. And I will agree about pinching pennies. I'm totally with you on pinching pennies, but I don't want to pinch pennies and then not have somebody here to do the project.
Right. We don't want to be penny-wise and pound foolish.
So that's it's a balance, and it's a really hard balance.
It is.
You know. It always, you know, good people end up leaving.
Yeah, and that's and then you spend more money trying to get new people, perhaps or less qualified, trained up to
the other person.
Yeah, then they leave.
And, you know,
as soon as they have training or experience. Okay.
So did I think we answer your question, Mayor?
Yes. I would just add a question about the process. That's all. I didn't understand it worked that way. Well, go ahead.
And I think we cut you off in the middle.
It's okay. Okay.
It's presentation.
It's okay. So the second sheet was our budget and finance 738 number that the mayor had asked. Where did we get to that? And it was based on an assumption of a 3% increase from zero based budgeting of the 678. So
now what she did too, and she put in 3%. Now that's, we talked about the budget committee. That's a pool. It isn't 3% guaranteed to everybody. What I said is we should have a pool of. Maybe not going to spend. But for purposes of establishing the calculation of what that would be, is what she's done here, drafted out. Mm-hmm. It is not like everybody's going to get 3% just because it's shown here. Mm-hmm. I want you to be very clear about that, that there'll be a performance evaluation, a goal setting process. You know, you're meeting your goals, or you didn't make it, you're not getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thanks for everything you've done, but we'll be doing that within it. So it's the cap is 3% of the total pool. If it doesn't get, if 1% gets spent total, then 1% gets spent. I mean, it's not a target. It's not to exceed amount. But for the calculation purposes, she built it onto each so that we would be able to calculate what it would look like.
And that's good.
So that was the original number on the Budget and Finance Committee for April 24th.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sneak preview of the next page is a sneak preview of what we'll be talking about on Tuesday night. Where we have removed one intern, and that was per discussion in the budget and finance, and then city manager I know has had discussions as well with council. So our goal now is the 728, and that's what you will be seeing, unless there's changes here that we'll push through.
So
that's right now, that's our target number that we are going forward with.
It's 738.
No, 728,
the next page, sorry. 738 was the one
that you saw at the finance committee
on the 24th.
Okay.
And that way, remember, you were wondering how did we get to that number?
738. Okay.
Right. And then so now
it's 728.
Yeah.
The 728 is the one that is anticipated for the May or the Tuesday meeting,
midnight.
The budget and finance meeting. So and that is the removal of one intern position.
So that sort of gives you the foundation of the resolution, because we sort of, you know, get it in context. Here we are, salaries, and where we are there.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand this one. You're starting at 678, mm-hmm. going to 728, but you have all those minuses.
Well, I think what we're doing is at zero base. We're building that first column. Look at it as if we were building from zero base.
Okay.
And that gets you the 728, and that's the components of each and every item in that left column. So forget the second column, just go from the first. Then I said, okay, well, why don't you show Michelle how it would reflect, you know, where we are compared to where we are right now. So the second column says, okay, the first column is you built from zero base.
Okay.
Starting from zero. And that you end up with 728.
Okay.
Now the second column just shows, basically, it's 720. The difference between 728 and 678. That's all it really is. Mm-hmm. It's just a comparison, going from, you know. So you could really have the same thing. It's like a total variance of $50,000.
Help me understand something here, just in sure. simple terms, because I'm a simple person, and I mean that in the the way that you probably all mean it. Where's that $50,000 coming from? Where's it going to? We're going from 678 to 728, and is that salary increases?
Salary, it includes benefits, it includes okay. pension, it includes everything.
Okay.
That's full comp.
That's that 3%, 3%, 3%, 3%,
3%. That assumes a 3% pool. Yes.
Okay.
And that's, that includes gets us the pension requirement on top, you know, every pension issue, and so okay. the rate increases from CalPERS is in there.
Okay.
Everything's built in. So it's a zero base, you mm-hmm. know. If you were to have nothing else and started with zero, mm-hmm. that's what you would end up with if you added all those things at 728.
And speaking of CalPERS, I would assume we've taken into the latest projections, numbers,
yes.
calculations, and craziness that they brought forth?
Yes. We actually, at the next council meeting, our IAC is going to be has recommended to be bring forward to go into a Section 115 trust.
Okay.
And I'll go into more detail about it, but at the budget meeting, I am going to say this is a potential use of money. Is now we have an unfunded liability, mm-hmm. right, portion, and because PERS was at 7.5, and you know, reality, we all know it's not even close. So they're bringing it down over the next few years, mm-hmm. and we have a projection that I will show you that goes over to 2023, I believe it is, mm-hmm. and our pension is going up. So to decrease our unfunded liability, what we're recommending is going into a Section 115 trust, which means that money is locked into, we can only use it for pension. Mm-hmm. So if we put $100,000 in it, it has a little freer, it's legal, but it has a little freer investment return. Okay. So our government code says we can only do A, B, and C.
Right. Purchase orders, agreements, or anything like that. It's just very structured investment policy, mm-hmm. but basically you're setting money aside with that's locked into paying our unfunded, that's locked in, and then in essence it's going to reduce our requirement down the road.
It's separate from PERS. Yeah. That's right. That's the one thing is what's like everybody's excited about is because it's not PERS.
Right.
So if they make 0% and we still make 3%, we're going to get the 3% or
right.
So at the end of the day, PERS is still going to say, let's say you have $1 million unfunded, mm-hmm. but if we have $100,000 over in this PARS, it is legally okay based on the GASB rules for at year end to show that we have 900 mm-hmm. unfunded
okay.
because that money's going to be included in. We're going to earn more interest. We can pay it for, we can use it for our annual expenses, but we're thinking long term. We're trying to reduce
yes.
it long term. So that's the plan that's going to be set as recommended to move forward at the May meeting.
Okay.
So I want to say PERS is at, they're below 70% funded at this point, right?
Ours?
No, is ours,
PERS,
right?
PERS as a
no,
whole.
No, ours is at 76. I think the last valuation I have is 76%.
But with PARS, the goal is to get up to 80, is that?
80 to 85 is what we're going to try and shoot
80 80% funded.
Okay.
So very, very healthy system.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to that. So, I mean, you have systems that are in the 50s that are, those are the ones that are struggling.
Yeah, that's...
But you have a system, you know, if we can get up to the 80% range plus, that's great. We've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, that's...
Okay.
So, and most likely what I will be recommending at the council, or at the budget and finance, no, at the budget study session, too many names, is to put $100,000 in a designation, because there's a process to set it up. So $100,000 to put in as a designation, and once we go through the process of setting up and believing that PARS is the best solution for the city, then mid-year, the council can relieve the designation to put that money aside.
Okay.
So that's kind of the game plan that will be presented.
That's the investment advisory has spent a considerable amount of time analyzing it in depth. Is it Bill Underwood has done it, taken on as a personal, and the mayor have taken on as a personal mission to sort of figure out the pros and cons. And I think last meeting they did the very impressive the presentation that they, you know, they've thoroughly researched this.
Good.
Have they talked to you about it?
No.
I think you were the last one. Yeah, I think Bill Underwood was saying he was trying to talk to each council member on their own, just to kind of give you like
a member. So when it comes to the council, I have a better understanding of
right.
it.
Right, right.
We're expecting it to be in the May agenda.
Okay.
We spoke, I don't know if you recall, but it was some time ago, about I reviewed what we have been investing in and what our rates of return were, and it was nice that you reminded me back in the graduate school days that there were certain things that we can invest in and can invest in, and that was a healthy reminder, and I appreciate that. But I would like to sit down with Mr. Underwood and get up to speed from his perspective on where we're at and where we're going. So
the investment policy statement will be coming to the council in May.
We revised that as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty open, and then the bankruptcy in the county hit in 1994, and the pendulum went way.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's sort of swinging back slightly, but not as it's not.
Right.
You know, it's not at that medium yet, but it is not nearly. I mean, it is not nearly as free spending and unrestricted as it was in the days of 1993, 92, 91, that led up to any of those sort of problems.
Right.
So I mean, first of all, legislation has restricted a lot of it. And then secondarily, Villa Park is traditionally a conservative city.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And so they were actively engaged. Bob, I can't pronounce
Fatua.
It. Fatua.
Isn't it Fatua?
Fatua.
Former councilman was very active in that formulation and in the recovery in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So he very much knew and set up Villa Park in such a very tight constraints.
Which we'll be indebted to him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's kind of a...
I just have one question on this last one. I really don't understand this. On the variance from this, you got all these negatives, and then it comes down to 50,000, but it doesn't seem to add up to me. Is that all of these minus the 678?
Yeah, it's showing the bottom line.
Where we are, 678, right. And if you do these things from a zero base, we're going to be at 728. So the difference between 678 and 728 is 50,000. That's what we're basically getting to. But from a zero-based budgeting, just look at that first column. We're starting at zero. And so, you know, you can. That's what it is. But for comparison purposes, and it's confusing because it's a plus in one column and a minus in the next.
Yeah, that's what's confusing. But it's so you're starting at 728, and you take out all of these, you get down to...
Well, 678, the top line says zero. That's what we're at today.
Yeah.
678. So we're saying, how do we get to, what's the variance between what we're proposing on May 5th versus at 678? And the bottom line is 50.
So another way to look at it is, if you looked at the first column, you'd add a zero up on the top, and you add all those items, you're going to get to 728.
Mm-hmm.
The second column is, okay, we're starting at 678 where we are now. If you adjust for all those things, we're 50,000 higher than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just two different ways of looking at it.
It's
a presentation issue. Yeah. It's not it doesn't change. The numbers don't change. It's just a simple presentation.
Yeah.
And it's different ways of looking at the same number to help clarify.
And then on here, we've got maintenance supervisor plus 3% plus 1,000. That's 1,000 hours additional overtime?
Oh, no.
Or what's the 1,000?
Yeah. No, it's...
Because that would seem like a hell of a lot.
No.
Actually, it's...
we'll fix that label.
Thank you.
Yes, that label is wrong.
I knew it would be the case, but I figured I would put it in the most extreme. Yeah, $1,000 seems a little bit more.
I mean, no, and the good example is the January storm drain. You have to have something set aside because he gets called out.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I obviously said that very tongue in cheek.
It's $1,000. We had budgeted last year we budget overtime for both Mike and Rich for call outs, sewer call, you know, whatever call outs.
Whatever needs to be done.
Exactly.
We'll label that a little differently. Yes. So it's $1,000.
Sorry, it's just being a smart aleck.
Okay, let me ask this, Michelle.
I'll take it.
You're saying that the difference between the $655 budget and the $655 is the additions that were made this year.
Yes.
Plus additions we make next year.
Yes.
So a total of about $66,000.
Correct.
But I thought the number you had before, the number was like $638 or $648.
Was this for 2016?
No, was in her presentation of the budget.
It was $738. You're right, but we've reduced that a little bit.
Well, no, that's the same as 738 went to 728, but I thought the base number was lower.
655.
Because I remember it was like $90,000 difference.
I'm not sure what dollar. I'm not sure what number.
What you had in your spreadsheet?
Okay.
You had expenses, but then you had out separately. What was the salaries and benefits?
I've got to look at that. We'll go look at it. That's a good. Yeah. We'll look and see.
I don't have that.
Might
one
be a good catch. I just don't know what your.
It's not the 655 number.
I don't remember it being. It
is the 655 is what the adopted number was.
Right.
I thought it was different because I thought I remembered it was $90,000 difference.
Okay. You'll have to show me.
We'll check it. Yeah. We'll check it again. But 655, I think, is the adopted budget number.
Okay.
So that's sort of the base point. Start addition changes, and then where we would recommend changes for the subsequent. So we've broken it out by year. So you're right, Mayor. There's 16,000 changes this year, current fiscal year. And what would be is 50,000 changes in next fiscal year. So broken apart, 66,000, like you just said.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay.
Have we confused you enough?
Yes.
Confused and befuddled.
Thoroughly confused.
We're on mission. We're on task then.
Okay. So this is the red line version of, you know, anytime you make a change to it, it'll track it. So, of course, it's...
The salary resolution we're talking about.
You can't even see the total. I didn't realize that. While you're looking at that,
did the member of the public have any questions about any of the numbers, the where we're going, where we come from, or anything?
No.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so the personnel salary resolution is what is adopted as part of the budget, and it will reflect, basically, the personnel guidelines.
Right. So
policy-wise,
okay,
not the specific procedures which we're talking about, which we're developing. These are the policies the procedures operate within.
Okay.
Okay. So if there were to be a policy change, now would be the time. This would be the appropriate place.
Okay.
I don't think one of your questions was answered earlier. Though. Where did the funds come from for the overage?
Robert. If as another member of the council, you're not supposed to comment when you sit in on this.
Okay.
You're not?
I'm not?
No.
I'm a member of the public.
No, you're not a member of the public. You're a council member. You can't come as a member of the public. I got a ruling from our council on that.
Well, I was just asking a question.
Okay, but now
I'm not commenting. I'm asking questions. I don't think your question was answered. One of your questions weren't answered.
Well, you can go ahead if you want to, but I think it's a violation of the Brown Act.
I think we went through this the other night, but that's okay. I just wanted to make sure that your question got answered. That's all.
The chair of the committee will allow the city manager to make a discretionary call on the situation, absent legal counsel.
And I think we can answer the question. The question would be, where did the funds for the $50,000 grow? The basically, we're building. We've had growth projected in revenue increases over the last. You know, in their budget, you'll see that in our May 9th. So, what basically this is a portion of the growth that we're getting from our revenue increases that will fund it. So, I think that's the answer short term. The part of the numbers this year, the 16,000, are funded by under expenditures or other things elsewhere in the budget that have, you know, variances that haven't happened. Mm-hmm. So, there's a combination of variance adjustments that we'll fund this year, the 16,000, and revenue you know, additions or whatever. Next year, it's primarily the growth in revenues that would support it.
Okay.
If that, I think that's what we're answering.
And just for, I think it's important, and I mean this with all respect to members of the public and members of the public at other committee meetings, that we get some real definitive advice from our counsel, from our city attorney, if we are going to have members of the public who are council members. And I by no means want to try to squash their participation as members of the public to the degree that it is that is consistent with the Brown Act, and so that they can advise their neighbors and friends and family in the appropriate fashion. But we want to be very careful about treading the line, because I think the mayor does raise a point. Not, I'm not taking sides here. I just want to make sure that we get hard and fast language, so we all understand we're all on the same page, because I appreciate the desire to be a part of this, the process of the city, but we just got to be, we have to be very, very careful. So,
well, Chair, I asked our legal counsel in our last meeting about this very issue, and he said that the council members can't come in and participate in the meeting.
Okay.
Otherwise, it becomes a council meeting when you have three or more.
Right.
That's just very cool. I can send you his email.
No, I fully believe what you're saying, and
I have a long experience with the Brown Act. I've been involved in it for 13 years. I think I know the Brown Act very well.
I
know it's not allowed. A council member or no board member can come in as a member of the public, because mm-hmm. they're not a member of the public.
Mm-hmm.
When three of you get together and talk about something, it's a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And I think the chair recognizes your experience both within the city and outside the city, and recognize the fact that you have discussed this matter with our city attorney, and given the fact that that question was a question that I raised, and that we were just clarifying it, I think that's one example where we can allow it. But going forward, I think that would behoove us to get firm legal counsel saying that if you're going to attend, do so, I hate to say, press the mute button, but I mean that with all respect. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. That we really follow that rule, just so we can avoid issues going forward.
I think that, just for purpose of clarification, so I'll have our council issue a formal memo to each one of the council members, and
thank you,
to let that sort of stand as it is, so that.
Mm-hmm.
Neither the chair of these respective committees or the mayor or myself is trying to interpret something that none of us probably want to be interpreting.
Indeed.
So I think that probably makes the most sense. So given the newness of the council and myself, it really makes sense. Just as a reminder, here we are. This is their legal opinion. And
perfect.
We can go from there. So I'll get that issued before the next council issue, before next council meeting.
And the chair does want to thank the mayor for reaching out and trying to clarify that issue. So thank you. Appreciate that. Let's go on.
Well, just before you go on, I wanted to just quote from what Todd sent me. He said, "Mayor, you're correct. Section 54952.2c is fairly straightforward. I always advise to be safe that the attending council member should not speak at such meeting. If a council member just gets up and says hi or notes their attendance, that probably doesn't amount to a violation, but there should not be any real substantive dialogue from the attendee."
Okay.
That's what he said. I asked him the same
And I think
question.
That came up at the CDC committee, and I said mm-hmm. that I think I reiterated pretty much the same thing, that it behooves anyone who's speaking to be careful that they're not inserting themselves into the deliberative process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It does not preclude them, and I think Todd's even alluding
said,
to it, that
it's
they
okay
can say something.
Hi, I'm
so
I'm
they
here.
Can't,
no,
they,
yeah.
I don't know that, you know, but we'll need to have Todd. Let's have Todd
okay.
issue a formal
okay.
Opinion and advice and counsel to all of us, so we're all operating in the same.
Right.
I think that just makes sense to have done. I think you're right.
I appreciate the email and the forward thinking on behalf of the mayor, or I should say that the mayor has made on behalf of the committee and the council. I also appreciate the concern and desire for the public, a member of the public, to be informed. Thank you.
All right.
On to the resolution.
Here we go. we are on the item A, so 4A.
Okay, so basically red line, I mean, there's a lot of just basic little changes, obviously the year, the resolution number is going to change, you know, those are here nor there. What we've done here is, as for the city manager, based on his contract, stating the date when his contract is effective, we've added a column here saying current year annual rate, and that will be the rate that is paid as of today.
Well, on the city manager, I thought we were paying him more than that. I thought we were paying him in lieu of...
It's not salary, though.
Yeah, it's not a salary. It's a straight salary, and in lieu of health benefit, I have the option of either getting a health benefit, which would be a total of $13,000,
yes.
Right.
Or be having that come back to me, and that's the provision.
That's
the
salary.
He gets it paid out to him, but it's not personable.
It's a rebate.
Yeah, it's not
personable. There's a difference.
But whether it's personable or not, it's still salary, isn't it?
No, because
compensation.
It's compensation, right? The current his salary is $127,000. Oh,
so you pension. You put in other benefits.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. No, it's a benefit that yes. that I'm waiving.
Yeah.
And in lieu of receiving,
I understand it. Just
cash and
I was trying to find out where it's put in there. I would have thought it would be put in salary if you paid that.
No, it's not because it's a personable.
But then
issue.
It becomes personable if you do that.
But whether it's personable or not, it's still salary. I mean, okay.
It's afforded to
you make a
benefit.
Very good point.
Yeah.
It's confusing, but it's government English.
Right.
And you got to remember it's government
and
English.
And we'd have to have another category saying personable and non-personable salary.
Yeah. The page is small enough as it is, right?
No,
right.
Pre-Ventura, post-Ventura, whatever.
No, just I knew that. I didn't see it would be other benefits, but I'm assuming that's what
it's
it
included
is
in the other benefits, but
correct.
It's not in direct salary.
Okay. All right. Okay. I just want to make sure it gets
right.
included.
It is, unfortunately, one of the nuances of government.
Okay.
It's just you deal with it.
So what's new here is our current annual rate, and like I said, that's paid as of to date. With the proposed, Steve and I were going back and forth on this, The 3% salary package is what we talked about, the 728 number that the last page of the report that I just showed you. That is if everything across the board was the 3%. So this is based on the discretion of the city manager upon his performance reviews, which he talked about that he's going to start doing those. Mm-hmm. And through that, there's a 3% assumed that the four right column, the four right columns are the assumed 3% if everybody was going to get it.
Okay.
So the 3% is built into these annual rates?
Yes.
And that if I'm looking at the document here, the far right category total compensation, which is somewhat truncated. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just for point of clarification, just wanted to make sure I'm on the same page.
Yes.
Right. Well, if that's the case, why doesn't the city manager get 3%?
Because it's not in my contract. There's no increase built in,
okay.
So I'm sort of a literal person. There's no contract built in, and I'm not going to assume it. That's sort of like you guys have the power if you want to do something, but I'm not going to do it. And mm-hmm. I didn't negotiate it, and I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to back into one raise now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the way it works.
So
I don't believe that. That's a discussion. And if you guys have the every year, the option, an appropriate time would be the evaluation process that's mm-hmm. built into it. And at that point, you guys can say, well, we want to do this, or you don't.
But
not building anything into it.
But meanwhile, that says there's no merit increase built in the budget for the city manager.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Wouldn't it be better?
You got to give me a
wouldn't
day
it be
off
better
instead.
just to have a line that says merit increases and that which is the entire part of merit increases, rather than have it built into each one's salary.
I'd be comfortable doing that if you want to. That's sort of what we need input from you. We can do something along
those lines. Yeah, that would make more sense to me. And then you could include the city manager in there. You could include 3% on all salaries. Include the city manager.
Okay.
Because we obviously have to, otherwise, we have to.
I think it's a wise discussion.
That's a good fix.
So instead of doing.
Instead of putting
columns
in everybody's salary, because everybody's not going to get it.
Right.
Everybody's not going to get the
same
thing.
Well, what we'll do is we'll continue to put current year annual rate, pension, and benefits, so it'll be outlined. But then we will then footnote that there is, or I have another line that says this is a salary pool to be distributed or potentially distributed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this the four columns is going to be what they're getting paid today.
Today.
And so then, this will be 16,
then there'll be a bottom
members.
That will be, instead of a person, it will be a pool.
Yeah.
That'll be distributed to cover a 3% pool.
Where? Right.
Right, so it's a line item.
Okay.
Right? Is that's what you're saying, right, Mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
We're fine with that. We went around, believe it or not, at 5:30 this morning, we were actually talking about this. Michelle is an early riser, and so am I, so we were like texting, and she goes, well, what about putting it this way? So, well, if you put it that way, then it's not going to come out this way. And so, you know, we great suggestion.
No, I'm accustomed to having like a pool, you know, like that. Right. The board decides what percentage of merit increase they want to have.
Correct.
And then
that's a better way to do it.
It is based on your judgment about what you give everyone. You get someone 0, you get someone 6%. Right. Or you maybe even get someone 10% and get 2%.
So the ranges, what I had her do was adjust the ranges up to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no point if I only adjust the ranges to 3, then it doesn't matter if I have a pool because the max I get is 3 or nothing or, you know, whatever. So I wanted to have some ability to say, no, you're doing something extra or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to have that little latitude. And that's, so I put that in and gave her that. Right?
Oh, so you just changed the salary range. And
yes.
And then the annual
so
range.
So that what you're doing would be perfect because we changed the range. Here's their current salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a pool line item separately. So I think that's a good change. Okay. That's a really good change.
Okay.
We'll be good with that, right, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. No, that's... That makes, I get that.
Do we get less columns so we can see more?
You would have bigger numbers.
Yeah, the Reddits will have to change the deleted.
Yes, because, no, you won't. Well, yeah, you'll have one less column.
Yeah, we'll have the...
One less column.
See, I can do math.
And we'll have the pension and the other benefits as current.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
That'll work out.
Good suggestion, Bill. Thank you.
The next change is, as a city, the city manager is having a phone allowance, so that's also in their other benefits.
Yep.
The city manager, see the red, the second.
Oh, paragraph. The phone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had that in the past, so that's an addition to put in the city, per the city manager contract.
Fully document transparency.
Absolutely.
What's in the contract.
The next revision is, okay, number 5. This is what Mayor was talking about under benefits, section 3.5. The city manager is getting his additional pay in lieu of the benefit of his medical.
Mm-hmm.
So that we need to put that, or we put it in compliance with a negotiated city manager contract.
Mm-hmm. Again,
so that's where I understand that he's not getting 127. It's more than that, but it's because of this section, which we have not had in the past. And currently it was just for employees.
So
at the single
other
rate.
Employees get a rebate based on single?
Only single, yes.
Only single, but the city manager gets based on family?
Yes.
According to this contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it 66% of family or is it 100% of family?
For city manager, is 100%. Yeah, okay. City manager has a different caveat than everybody else. That's
okay.
And it's all in the contract. It's specified specifically, right. Whereas here just talks about employees.
And the remainder of the employees is the 66%? I saw that number out there. I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah, it was at a certain date. We changed it last year.
Kind of,
Yeah, so it's all across the board for employees. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this one, I will tell you, I did nothing on this paid time off, and you'll see the very last page. You can compare this very last page to this. I think I moved a column, like moved it over to the right.
The entire thing's
red.
Okay.
I did nothing to it.
Like, but the whole thing's red.
And if you look at the back page, you will see, you can compare, you can tear that off and look exactly.
I wonder why you did that, because didn't we go with this quite extensively last year?
Yes, I did nothing.
All right.
I promise. You can completely compare, it's highlighted in red, and it's all, you can see it's all formatting and saying that it's black.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I don't know.
It's okay. As long as we understand it.
Yeah. And then the page 6.
Page 6 of 7.
It will be in under miscellaneous benefits, number 4. This is to encompass all of with the cell phone, email.
Remember, they delegated the authority for me to give a cell phone to city staff as appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the important things, Michelle, is they have to report any personal use because that's deemed a compensation issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Additional compensation that we have to report in our W-2.
Yes.
So that really says that the policy is they only use it for city business, and if they use it, they have to report it to me because we have to include it on our W-2.
Yes.
Does that include council members, too?
No, this is a city specific. No. You're being issued a cell phone that we're paying for.
Right, and it's under, what is it, like $20 a month? So it's under the $600 threshold. Therefore, we have to report on our transparency in California to the state controller's office now that we're giving you a benefit of, you know, nominal. But
you're saying because
I'm not going to be tempted.
The benefit's under $600, it's not reportable.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
for
over
$600,
it was reportable.
Right, but the employees, we already pay over $600, so they are automatically into it. We don't pay you anything, so this would be the only income to you. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you are exempt as a council member.
Sorry.
If we give you, unless we're giving you other stuff, to, I mean, you know what I mean. If we're not giving anything else to you, so
okay,
you're not in it for the money.
Special.
No, but normally it's reportable, except that it doesn't reach the $600.
Yeah, the threshold level. It doesn't reach the threshold.
And so, but employees obviously fall into that. So we just rewarded that to encompass the...
So we need to adjust this chart to be reflective as the same as we did on the previous chart.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
We'll put the pool down there at the
17,
bottom.
17-18.
Okay.
17-18. We'll do two separate pools or just one pool?
One pool.
Okay.
One pool.
I think.
Yeah, well, you and I'll go for it. I understand what the mayor wants.
Yeah.
And it's just a line item that would reflect a pool. 3% or whatever, definitely.
I do have one question. Executive assistant. Last year, I made a case to them that the executive assistant salary should be increased by looking at the same thing that Jared used to determine the assistant city manager's position, and we rejected. But here I see you're proposing it goes to $20, from $12 to $20, isn't it?
It was $12 to $20 last year. Oh. That was in our budget, and this is assuming the 3%, so it goes to $21.
I would say we're going to 21, it looks like.
Yeah.
There's a 1 right there.
20, okay.
It was 20 last year, though, in the
budget. It was
20
last year? Okay.
And that's what we were paying, or that's what
that was the top of the range.
And then you're asking to include a management intern in the budget.
One intern.
We want a specific line item that allows us to deal with that. Because you'll see it in the past, and this is one of the questions that you raised, the Councilman Rossini raised, was the authority, and we don't have a specific donation. So for in purposes of being transparent, we said, let's label what we're paying the intern, and it's clear, and that's what the range would be. Mm-hmm. But in the past, it says, if you look down below, they can hire staff on a full-time basis, with the concurrence of the Human Resources Committee, et cetera. So we said, okay, well, fine. Let's go ahead and just be more transparent and say, this is the rate here. And so we've included the intern. So we pretty much eliminated any sort of uncertainty about what are you doing and how much you're going to pay this person or whatever. So we're just adding that in, I think, so for purposes of transparency to be, here it is. Mm-hmm. And there's no question about, well, you're not doing it or something, or you are.
And the 1,000 hours is that we limit, so it does not get into purse.
Right, that's where I'm going with this.
Yes. Yeah.
And, okay, all right.
And we are
so
we're very diligent on that.
We are, no question.
Okay.
I'm not going to increase. I am not going
to. Oh, no.
I can tell you by the number of hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point on both of our,
Good, thank you.
I mean, I don't believe, and I'll be really honest, I don't believe an intern should be a long-term. It's a transitional, somebody does it while they're getting their education,
right,
or works on, gets experience, and gets exposure to real-life world, and or is a great resume builder, too. So for somebody that wants to say, hey, I worked in this city, and I did this experience, and look, I got it. So that's sort of what I believe the internship. In fact, I started in government as an intern, so I get it.
As did I. A question about how we're selecting, if it's appropriate at this point in time, given the agenda. How are we finding the interns, and how are we selecting the interns, and what sort of interview process is there for the interns? I mean, I don't know, maybe there's a line, you know, 50 people out the door. Maybe there's not. Maybe we go to Chapman. Maybe we go to UCLA, USC. Maybe we go to Mount SAC. I don't know.
Well, what the two interns were both here, and they'll be transitioning on. But my plan with the future would be dealing with the local academic institutions, and not playing favorites. Probably contact them all and say, we're advertising. and post a position. If anyone's interested for those universities, they could say, you know, and there will be likely good candidates.
And that's what I was going to.
I would like to.
I don't want it to be my brother's friend's sister's uncle's nephew.
I don't have that many friends. but I'd like UCI, Chapman, Cal State Fullerton, Long Beach State, USC, UCLA, anybody who might have interest. You know, again, it is whoever decides to apply, but that would be my goal, is to do it. And not just the undergraduate, but the graduate programs as
well.
And I want to look, you know, because there are, you know, they've got real strong MPA programs at many of these institutions. Some don't, some do. And the MBA programs as well. But you tend to get more MPA students that would be interested in a government job. And so those MPA candidates would be, you know, many of those.
We've actually had those in the past.
Many of those, actually, the professors at Long Beach State, I know several of them, who teach down there and say, hey, I got somebody who'll be, we'd love to send down there who's a, you know, needs to get the experience. Great. You know, that's the kind who should apply. There will be an interview process depending on the number of candidates. If, you know, one applies, and as long as that person is interviewed and isn't, you know, isn't got a rap sheet longer than my arm, you know, and those kinds of reference checks that we do as we would any employee, because they're here, they're exposed, and they have opportunities to get into data and anything else. That, so we'll check on them. I have no doubts that we would follow every procedure.
All right. And we're doing not only reference checks of, you know, but also a limited background check in conjunction with, obviously, the Sheriff's Department.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. Good.
Yep.
Good.
We do.
Thank you.
It's not as comprehensive as law enforcement background.
I know.
My wife actually had to do that, and I had to give her my high school diploma as a result. Seriously. Oh, I'm not joking. They actually do. They get your diploma. So, but what I'm talking about is a limited limited background check, which would be more cursory, like moving violations, criminal records, the kinds of things we do typically that we'll do. And in my experience, again, the county, we run a check each year to see, has somebody been arrested for DUI?
Sure.
Any of those kinds of, has any, but you know, we actually found out one of our employees was arrested over the weekend one time for something and had somehow arranged to never miss a day of work, but he was child endangerment or something. So that person was subsequently released. But those kinds of things, there's services that will help us run those services. And
I just asked the question I already have the answer to, but I wanted to make sure we had it on record. That's all.
Yep. No, you're right. And there's, in this day and age, unfortunately, you have to check everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Good.
I had a couple other questions about other benefits. The finance director, why is the finance director's other benefits so low? You know, like the maintenance worker is...
I don't get help. I don't get anything.
She's not a full-time employee.
That's right.
Oh, you have to be full-time to get help?
Yeah.
Except for Bill Tarrant, the building inspector.
Yeah.
When he came, because he was with Norse Rep, whatever they changed into. Originally Norse Repke, you know, the engineering firm. That's who he used to work for, and he was a contract employee.
Okay.
And then when the decision, was made 5 years ago or so, he became an employee. And because he was an employee there and he was working part-time, was it Lori at the time? I don't recall who was here. But... at that time, when he was hired on, part of his hiring was that he would get medical and dental to come over.
So you weren't as good a negotiator, huh?
I was not a good negotiator. I'm
okay. No, I
you may have other arrangements.
I thought if you worked like 30 hours or so,
I gotta stay married though.
You got
exactly.
I thought if you worked 30 hours or so, you got the benefit, the health insurance. It's a
full time
or nothing.
Full time or nothing.
That's unusual.
Yeah, and we only have four. We only have four full time employees, but we have five because of Bill Tarrin. That, you know, we have four part time.
Five to get medical insurance.
Yes, because of Bill Tarrin. Otherwise, it would only be the four.
Okay, on Mike then, his other benefits is almost as much as the city manager's.
His overtime.
Oh, is that overtime?
Yeah, we build the we have $10,000 that for, you know, whatever is used. So we put that in as a potential overtime if he uses it all. I mean, unfortunately, this year might happen. But
is that the same for the maintenance worker?
Yeah, he gets a smaller portion. He doesn't come out quite as much. Yeah,
I know. I thought other benefits would be health benefits primarily. Is that normally what it is?
Normally, yes, but we're trying to make it look somewhat like our state controller controller's compensation report, so you can compare apples to apples, and these are the columns that they have.
Oh, okay.
So they put it.
They put overtime and other benefits.
We had it as overtime. We had it separate, and then it was consolidated to for easier read, and that's why we put down here. This is, you know, what is included in there.
Okay. All right.
And then last year, another thing in there is the optional payout of the 40 hours.
Yeah.
So that's also right. In there, too.
Okay. I just wonder why those just looked out of line.
Right. No. Right. It just occurs to me out looking at it.
Right. Look back.
That makes sense. And then, yeah, just the remaining is names.
Well, it's a lot easier than last year, huh?
Yes. Not quite as many red lines. How many times did we go over that one?
Yeah.
It was beat up.
We'll see if we can't fix this one, because this, we can make that black again. That was probably simplified, because it looks like making a bunch of changes.
Hidden slush fund.
No. Mm. Definitely not.
Okay, so that's the salary and benefits resolution, and that would be an item that we'll be discussing at the May 9th budget workshop as well.
Is there any recommendations that you want to make on a revision of this? Because I have the budget report for Tuesday that I want to send out.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's anything that
we want to reflect any changes or any additions.
We need to make it in. I want to try and make it into that.
Right. Well, I think Bill had one that that he and I agree on.
The 3%.
3%, yeah.
Yes, that change will be made.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Otherwise,
I can't think of anything else. Clarifying the 1,000
hours. Right,
yeah,
hours.
Right. That's a labeling.
Just labeling thing. And then if you guys can potentially try to clean up that one chart.
Yeah, that'll make it back.
Leave off or part-time off.
We'll just copy everything.
PTO.
Copy everything. Not page and not the color.
I know.
Did you have anything else to add,
no.
Mr. Mayor?
I can start. No.
All right. Fine.
Okay.
So, do you want to make a recommendation to bring this to the next?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Paid interns?
These were items, I think, that Councilman Rossini wanted. We talked about it here.
Right.
So I don't know if we've answered your questions, or you want to talk about it separately, or what do you want to do?
More or less. I you know, there's been a lot of discussion amongst council, kind of some confusion in the public about new faces around City Hall and what the role was, and why all of a sudden we added so many new faces, and one part-time but regular figure left the city, perhaps under some interesting circumstances I won't get into.
That sort of predates a lot, sort of where we are.
Right.
We have the position here that we would fill that, that was vacated. We will be going down to one intern on a special to do special projects, not to do office coverage or phones or things like that. But special projects is what I want that intern, which is more appropriate. And a good example, if you were to say, what example? Automate our business license process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great project for an intern to engage on, move forward on it, and that's what I want them to be able to do. Another person sort of like to maybe do our web page upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be using the regular position as it was used before, which is office and coverage and those things, and handling counter and having a consistent. So I wouldn't be looking. The interns will be doing project-based issues and not ongoing operational things. So that's the focus. And it'll be down to 1,000 hours of one position.
1,000 hours, one paid intern, and any other interns that are unpaid?
Well, unpaid, if somebody wants a volunteer hour, the volunteer would be basically volunteer, but
we've had that in the past.
It would depend on, it depends on what we get. And
one of the things that I want to be careful about is, and maybe it's a ticky-tack thing, but interns and business cards. I don't know if that's necessarily appropriate, with all due respect to our interim manager and that decision. I think that kind of goes, I don't think we need to be spending printing costs on that. they can give their name, they can give their phone number, and, you know.
That's fine.
Yeah, I just, I would caution against that in the future.
That's fine, I'm not.
Yeah, I think we're all on pretty much the same page. Mr. Mayor, did you have anything that you wanted to bring up with respect to paid
interim? Well, just last one is executive assistant. You advertised for an office assistant or something.
That's a, you are absolutely right. Is that going to be? No, you're absolutely right. That needs to be changed.
That needs to be changed to that. Yes. Should that be changed to office assistant?
Yes, you're right.
Rather than
executive
assistant.
Yes, you're right. That was my... So it's office assistant, it's not executive assistant.
Yeah, that's what he advertised for, was office assistant.
Thank you.
All right.
So it's the same category, the same range.
Nothing changes. Yeah.
It's just the title change. Right. But I think it's that is a good distinction.
Yes, no, it is.
That's
it's fine. A good catch.
No, that's just the old one. And
it's changed so many times.
Steve changed the name of it to office
assistant. That's what we're really looking for, somebody to be the face. You walk in the door, the same person's here.
Well, and I think it's truer to the role, and I think when you start throwing around the term executive assistant, it gives a false impression of what's going on.
Right. No, and I don't want it to. We're office day-to-day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Reserving a room.
Yes.
Handing out a key. Yeah. Picking up the mail.
Here are the forms.
Here are the forms. You know, answering messages, phones, mm-hmm. giving, you know, those. That's what we're looking for.
How many hours a week is this?
25.
25. Are you okay with that?
Yes, I'll be working 25 at this point.
Okay.
I think if I didn't have an intern to do special projects, that would be a little different issue. Mm-hmm. But I think an intern gives us a little bit different educationally approach to deal with it and allows us to work on special projects and actually allows me to differentiate.
Yes.
So the intern is not spending time answering phones and doing those things or whatever. The intern is really working on a project.
Right, like if they only need to work on
3 hours to sit down and go through the workflow issues for the business license fee, they can sit back here and map it out and not have to worry about, okay, I got to get the key to the to the you know, the rotary, or I've got to make sure this is that, and that's what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the distinction I'm trying to do. And I also want the interns to get meaningful experience. They can walk out and say, well, I'm just an office assistant.
Right.
Or walk out of here saying, no, I did special projects. I did these things that sort of like when they go to their job interview for their next job.
I did this.
Mm-hmm. And a really cool project. And we can say, yeah, they did. They were the lead on whatever project it might be.
I didn't refill the paper clips in each drawer.
And I didn't unjam the copier. And I didn't.
Right. That's not.
I didn't make sure that, you know, that's what I want the office person to be the office person and want to be there.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm going. So I think the 25 hours is where we're at.
Okay.
And our goal would be to have, candidly, and I find it a little bit true, Michelle does too, I want the intern, the office person, we're aiming for a year from 12 to 5 every day.
Okay.
And that would allow a lot of, 5 days a week. One of the issues is, I find is, and Michelle or I, whatever, is there are meetings that we need to go and be represented. Like yesterday, I went to a meeting with the county and animal care and all the city managers, and they were talking about the animal care budget. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't get as far as I wanted to. We dropped it $4,000 off a $48,000 bill, so it's
a start.
But it's a start, but it's a push, and we need to be represented because our interest in, you know, and like Michelle and I are having to go over to the, you know, or the sheriff's office, or Calvary Cycle is coming down and something like, you know, and those meetings, we can now have a block of time we can schedule without having just to spend our time saying, well, I can't go to that meeting because I'm covering phones, you know, that's sort of an issue. So we lose out when we do that. We need to have somebody here. 12 to 5 is probably the best coverage because then I don't have to worry about lunch. And, you know, city managers meet every first of every month, Wednesday every month, at 11:30, right over here in Orange.
Right.
That's an ideal example to go have discussions, absolutely. But I can't go if I'm covering the office. And if I have a person here, it's ideal. So
that's not what we're paying you for.
Right. And that's what, and same with Michelle. I want Michelle doing the numbers. Yeah. I want her doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't want her saying, answering the phone saying, you know, you got a problem with the dog barking? Let me get a hold of so-and-so. And, you know, that's not what I want her to do.
Yeah.
And it's not a good use of time or money for her.
Tell me about our code enforcement budget. I know we've upped the ante a little bit.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of complaints. At least I had a lot of complaints when I was campaigning. I know that other council members have probably had the same, both from residents as well as real estate agents, folks that are, you know, in it for their own property values, as well as folks that may have just slightly different agenda. How are we doing?
I've asked Bill to pull together a report because we just started it, so I want him to do a monthly report, like much like he did with the building update the other day to CDC. But we're able to respond a lot quicker. So, for instance, I had after the fire, mm-hmm. I had people calling and saying, you know, that wire fell on the property that wasn't maintained. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to have Bill go out the next day mm-hmm. and say, Bill, go check that. And he did. Mm-hmm. He took pictures. He contacted the owner. And that person's cleaning up some property of the property and things. So we're mm-hmm. getting things that are done. And I think it's allowing some time. But we'll be providing a report. And I need to make sure you understand that is, you know, if at any time the workload, if everybody says, oh, we're, you know, compliance goes down or increases, then we won't have to deal with it. We right. can reduce the hours. One of the things, though, I think you'll find is older communities, meaning 1962, this is an older community versus like Aliso Viejo, yeah, is, sure. you know, sure. developed much earlier. Code compliance tends to be a bigger issue in community, well-established communities yes. than it is for older. We had, for instance, somebody build a whole cabana. I don't know what a cabana is versus a cabana,
right.
but a cabana yeah, right. for $63,000 without a building permit. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's something that you can't see from the street. It's right. only when somebody reports those things that's a code enforcement right. issue that it now comes forward. And I think that person's gotten a message that there's issues there. But that's what happens in an older community when, you know, and I think the other thing too, and I would say is communities are never stagnant. All right. Probably in its day, a Stanton was a beautiful community, or parts of Stanton or Placentia or some of these older communities mm-hmm. were beautiful communities. But as the code enforcement efforts change and mm-hmm. time changes, things start to get done and people don't, you know, granny flats are put in. Things
we
are
have
put
to
in.
Evolve with their evolution.
We have to move and we have to continue to progress. So mm-hmm. I would think that our pushing out a little more code enforcement does mm-hmm. two things. One, helps us stay on top of things. Two, sends a message that we care mm-hmm. in the city. And we aren't going to let the things... So you got to pay attention to these things.
Yeah, I'm by no means trying to say that we should spend less or necessarily spend more. I'm just trying to make sure
you
that...
were the one actually prompted me to put somebody more on the street.
Right.
You came and said, can we do anything?
Yeah, dollars and cents wise, I just want to make sure that not only we're getting the return on our investment, and yeah. I think we are, but it's good to hear from maybe not a political figure, somebody who...
We'll be getting a report
right.
On a monthly, and I'll be giving that to the council so you guys can see the activity.
Right.
But I think you'll find, I mean, there was times when code enforcement, we couldn't get out to issues for, I mean, I went out right. and looked at a code enforcement issue because we had no one else to look at it, yeah. and that was only after like 3 days because we couldn't get to it. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're getting a lot more active there, and not we're not driving around looking for violations,
no.
we're just presence. So there's an important distinction because mm-hmm. we're not looking to cite people, we're looking to
get compliance,
follow up yeah. on issues.
Yeah, anything we can do to maintain and or increase property mm-hmm. values and health and safety mm-hmm. within our city, I think, is well worthwhile. And the last thing we want to do, for the record, is get into a situation where we have council members or staff saying that you can't have this plant, you can't have that plant. There's no grand conspiracy, there's no theme, there's no suggestion, there's no implication, there's nothing that this committee, this chairperson, this mm-hmm. council member, or I believe the gentlemen and ladies in this room have any desire to turn this into an architecturally review significant city mm-hmm. like an HOA. I mean, the implication is utterly ridiculous, so we have that on the record. But it is good to have just some checks and balances to make sure our folks are taking care of what they need to take care of, so that if maybe they're not aware of it, maybe they need to be made aware of it. Most folks are responsible, take care of it. But I appreciate that. The expenditure and the report and the time that we're putting into that, and I think it's well worth the Human Resources Committee analyzing that as well as other committees.
We'll make sure that we bring forward that report. Like Thank all you. Council members will see code enforcement. You'll see a comparison of where we were, kinds of level of activity versus what we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. And it's again, I would reinforce, this is not activity that our code enforcement officer is generating. Mm-hmm. This is activity he's responding to.
Exactly.
Those are two different issues. So
totally.
That's a big... You know, so in other words, you're saying, well, gosh, the activity went up only because he's looking for something. No, it's going up because we're following up on things otherwise we wouldn't have followed up on.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And then, so the paid interns, I think
I think we've exhausted that. Mr. Mayor, did you have any further on paid interns?
Well, my only confusion on the paid interns was I know that when Kim went out, the Human Resource Committee authorized the city manager to hire an intern to fill in for her. Mm-hmm. I also know that when Bethany left, mm-hmm. that we authorized the interim city manager to hire an intern mm-hmm. to replace her. Mm-hmm. But my understanding, we were paying two interns, and I didn't know that the other intern was
Yeah, they were still here, but they're transitioning out with ours, so we'll be doing moving down.
Oh, I'm saying that was just my confusion was I didn't know that there was a second intern.
I think we're moving back into a pure project. The role of an intern is not for day-to-day operations as it was in the past. The role of an intern will be project-based, and that's what Michelle and Kim and I have had discussions about. Then item C, I think we talked, it's the same item we talked about at the CDC, Community Development and Public Safety, so I keep having to add those. But anyway, that we talked about that. I don't know, was there something specific you had mentioned, or did you want to address that further?
I just think from a human resources perspective, we need to kind of get your point of view, a staff report on what's been going on and what the concerns are, as I alluded to in the the CDC meeting, CDC public safety meeting.
There we go. I never look at the same way now. You'll always have that.
I had at least one gentleman pull me aside. He had a number of different concerns, everything from the taxi program to Orange County Sheriff's Department response time to, in particular, pointing out that city personnel were doing work on private property. And he said, well, why can't I get my trees done? And I think he said it tongue-in-cheek, but I think it raises an interesting point. And then I know that Councilman Collicott had heard some feedback from, I'm assuming, some residents stating that, again, similar concerns, what's going on and you know, where's the line? Is there a line? And I just want to make sure that we get an opinion from our city manager, what he feels is appropriate, have the issue discussed amongst this committee, because it does fall back to a human resource related. It's both a public safety issue with respect to line of sight and what our maintenance workers are doing, but it also comes back to, are they going outside the scope of their work and doing things they shouldn't do for friends and what have you, or just nice maybe neighbors that they've known for a long time, and I can understand why, but we got to be careful.
I've had long discussions with Mike, and his two, you know, sort of the overall direction is, Mike, you're here, you know, Villa Park is an amazing community. We want to make sure it continues to look amazing.
Absolutely.
So there are things that, you know, maybe in other communities you might not be done in a strict sense of whatever, some things we need to do. So like you say, line of sight. The other thing is when hedges are falling over sidewalks, even though it may not be our responsibility, if somebody's going to walk in and bump their head, you can bet your bottom dollar that we're going to be named in any lawsuit.
Absolutely.
So on those kinds of things, I've asked him to use his judgment as well. The other thing, too, is if you have easements or you're standing on public property, but, you know, you're, like I say, the hedge, but, you know, like out here where it extends out onto the sidewalk and things like that, people walking and things like that. I said, you know, go ahead and let's clean those things kind of up. Because candidly, the amount of time that he spends on it is going to be much faster and much less expensive than dealing with the nuisance, declaring, you know, X number of houses nuisance, and going through all that effort. So I'm trying to do what makes sense. I told Mike to use your judgment in some sense and talk to me if there's an issue. Mm-hmm. I will give you a really good example. A property owner came in the other day and said, I have a bunch of cuttings on my hedge. I need you guys to pick them up. And we said, you know, our first reaction was, you're not picking up in your hedge. Mm-hmm. After a little bit of research, we realized Edison cut its stuff and threw it on his hedge, not by his doing. So I told Mike to go pick it up because it's not, you know, it wasn't his doing, and it wasn't something, but it was on his hedge. Mm-hmm. So if somebody looked at it, they'd say, well, you're doing private property, but what he was doing is something that Edison, I can't control Edison, but I certainly can control. It was right here on San Diego.
One of the utility tree trimming crews, the orange trucks, trimming.
Yeah. They just threw it literally on, like they cut it, and it was like they were going to pick it up, but they never did. Mm-hmm. And so Mike and Rich picked it up, and it was, you know. Mm-hmm. It would have been somebody's looking and saying, boy, that's private. Looks like private property. But from my perspective, the owner is like, no, I get what he's saying. It's really not his problem, and we should be helping him out. And I think that's, in a city like Villa Park, it helps maintain the community looking good. Okay. The guy's forever indebted if you told me that if I ever need anything, just tell him. Well, I mean, I don't mean it that way, but it's kind of funny.
You mean it in a figurative capital sense.
He appreciates the city and what the city's doing.
Right.
So
and the city's responsive to... Right. His needs, consents. Whether it's the city's responsibility or...
We could have said, it's your property, they dumped it, you go deal with Edison. But I just don't think in a city like Villa Park, that we want to be sending our residents, that kind of thing. Like, go deal with somebody else because we don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want to be dealing in that kind of community.
Want to be neighborly. Yeah.
And so that's what, so there's a good example of sometimes things don't look like what they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mike has to do a little bit of judgment call. And so Mike and Rich would say, no, they checked around and then they had somebody tell them, oh yeah, that was Edison. They checked with it. You know, it was all like, oh yeah, okay, well go fix it.
And I don't, at least I can speak for myself, I don't have any issue with that level of discretion being given to our city manager and our maintenance supervisor, you know, Mike or Rich, right. You know, whatever the case may be. I just want to make sure we stay cautious as we get new folks that move into this.
Yeah,
this
I told Mike I don't want to see them under a front, you know, up by a front porch of somebody's house trimming.
Yeah, or
during the middle of the day. I don't
anywhere
see
near
them.
A power line.
We're not pruning
line.
Roses for somebody. We're not, right. You know, that kind of thing.
No but. Power lines. be very cognizant and careful of oak trees, olive trees, stuff like that, where I'm like, ugh, be careful because. Right. You know, I just don't want us to
one of the interesting things
buy about, into any liability.
Yeah.
I found that Mike can not only tell you where, not only sees the lines, but he knows where they are. You go, oh, this was put here in this year and in that year. And like, really, Mike? Yeah. And this is the owner that used to have the house three owners prior. And, you know, and Mike has a lot of valuable knowledge. And he's a tremendous, tremendously dedicated employee, as we've seen in the hours. But I appreciate that. And we keep that in mind. I guess keep in mind also the liability issue. I do not want you, you know, doing a lot of stuff on private property, but if you're standing on something because you got to get to a hedge that's on an easement,
right?
I get it.
That's a different.
You know, there's some lines here that it's not this.
It's not black and white. Yeah, there's some gray area.
As I get older, there's a lot more gray for a lot of reasons.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to get your
my opinion on this. I think Mike is a real treasure for the city, and I trust his judgment in doing these things. I don't have a problem with what he does with this. Yeah. Not at all.
Yep.
And if there are situations where somebody it looks like is being abused, I just report it to me and I'll go deal with it. I mean, Mike and I told him, I said, you know, I'll come hunting you, Mike. You know, I'll find you. It's not that big a city if you're doing something you're not supposed to.
Exactly.
And he laughed.
Apparently, Mike just loves work because I've seen him helping everybody.
He works right. Above and beyond the call of duty.
I saw when the Women's League got that thing up here. Mm-hmm. He was over there helping them, mm-hmm. you know.
He loves to help.
He loves to help people. So
he does.
He's a very good, and he's very unassuming too. So it's not surprising for a folks
exactly.
here.
No,
very good guy.
And I say he's a treasure for the city, so I wouldn't want to try to stop him from doing.
I think you know the community itself. I think it also there's a lot of things you can do as a city. You can brand the city and do whatever. But if you have a city that's responsive and employees of the city that deal with public and they.
Yeah.
I can tell you, your lives are easier
because
Mike does.
Because he does that.
If you guys heard every complaint that Mike handles, and
right.
because Mike wasn't around doing it,
yeah.
you guys would be like on my phone, you know, constantly, and I'd be blowing up my phone.
Right. Some things are better just handled at the lowest level.
Right. So I think that's sort of like Mike, that's a good message for the city.
Yeah.
Villa Park cares.
Yeah.
We care, and I think that's the message we want.
Yeah, and I think that's
agree.
A great slogan going forward, Villa Park cares, because
do. What I heard, you might know about it, Michelle, but I heard that Lori said that she ever did anything to Mike that they would fire her.
Yeah.
So that's how valuable he is to the city.
Right. Yes.
But you know what, I would just as a note, I mean, if you guys see Mike along the way, you know, pat him on the back, or at least I would, you know, shake his hand or thank him, because I think he doesn't ask for a lot, but those things mean a lot to him.
Right.
He's an old school guy.
He is.
Yeah. Well, we do have the mayor of Villa Park, but we have the king of Villa Park. I've given him that title. Knowing full well that I was elected, but he is the king of Villa Park, and I mean that sincerely. And I raise this point not to say, hey, Mike, you're doing too good of a job, or, you know, or hey, Mike, stop caring so much. I raise this just to say, hey, this is something that we've heard from the public. This is something that we've discussed at two different meetings. The parameters are X. They're at the discretion of our city manager and Mike. With the understanding that we're not going onto private property except when it's appropriate and perhaps necessary to do so, and or to assist our residents with the missteps of utility tree trimming crews, which unfortunately we have still working in our city and are going to for a long time. But I appreciate your input on that, and I appreciate the mayor's comments, and I would It goes without saying that I think the member of the public in this room supports Mike fully, and as do I. So thank you. I have nothing further. If you have nothing further, the mayor, then we are adjourned.
Well, I got one other thing. Okay. I did see your budget number. I don't know where I got the other number from.
Okay. Is it the right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't know where I got that other number from. I had some
idea. I don't
idea
either. I was
with $90,000, and I don't know where I got that from. But I don't see it in here. So.
Okay. Are we good to stop?
Yes.
We're off. Yeah.